We've been in a foundational series. We've been talking about how every one of us could use just a little more God in our lives. And the series has been talking about the basics. We've been talking about the importance of keeping brushed up on foundational elements of our relationship with God. Things like the importance of being in His Word, leaning on God and knowing that He cares for us, depending on Him. The importance of keeping in step with the Spirit living inside of us. The importance of actively trusting in Him, of living by faith. Another way that we see more of God in our life is when we imitate His character. I've seen that many times in my life, that I'll get closer to God by imitating who He is. A lot of you guys know that I'm 47 years old and I still play video games. So don't judge. I think there's a lot of me's out there. There's a lot my age that are still doing that. How many, we have gamers here, right? Okay. So in the gaming world, let me kind of give you guys a little bridge into our world a little. There's a thing called God mode in video games. And it's something like if you're playing a video game where you have to harvest resources, you might use a cheat code, or the game might have an option where you can make it where you just have unlimited resources so you don't have to harvest them. Okay, that's God mode. Or if you're playing a game where you have to fight to survive, and then you can activate God mode. You can either use it in one of the options in the game menu or whatever, where your character is pretty much invincible, and that's what's called God mode in the video game world. So when you turn on God mode in a video game, the reason why it's called God mode is because you gain God-like characteristics. God mode. We're going to transition to a sub-series from more God into a little sub-series here called God mode, based on this understanding that God mode is in the video game world is where you take on some characteristics of God, and it makes it better. It makes it easier. We're going to talk about a few character traits of God that when we imitate them, we actually get more God in our lives, and we're bringing more God to other people's lives as well when we engage God mode in the settings of our life. So that's the goal in the next few weeks here, is that all of us would find that button, find that option in the menu to activate God mode in our lives, that we would take on these God-like characteristics. The most God-like thing that we can do, and you guys probably know this even without looking at the bulletin or anything, what is the most God-like thing we can do? Imitate God. There we go. Yes. Four-letter word in church. Love. Love. That's the most God-like thing we can do. Next week, we're going to talk about what I believe is the second most God-like thing we can do. So you'll have to come in next week to find out what that one is. But yes, imitating God through love. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes, he says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God." So write that down. Imitate God by walking in the way of love. That's just straight from Ephesians chapter 5. Imitate God by walking in the way of love. Walk in the way of love. This is what we're supposed to be known for, isn't it, church? Walking in love. Loving each other. We can't omit this at all. At any time. This has to be 100% all the time. And I get so disappointed in myself when I fall short of walking in love. When I say something that's just a little more harsh than it should be, my brain, I'm just wired. I look at things and I say, how can that be better? It's just a default thing for me. It's an involuntary action, and I don't even think it. Like, it's such an ingrained thing in me, I don't think, how could that be better? I just see something, and if I see that it could be better, here's how that could be better. Well, the negative of that is that oftentimes that's the first thing that comes out of my mouth, because it's the first thing I'll think. I did it just this morning. just this morning, we're trying this new thing out here, and I'd called Tammy, I called Debbie last night, or yesterday afternoon, and explained to them what we're doing, and I come in, and Debbie's already here. Where is She's downstairs. Oh, she won't even get to hear this. So she'll have to go and listen to it. So, golly, I was hoping to be able to give her a public apology, but gosh, now I'm going to have to do it in person, one-on-one. That's uncomfortable. So, but now here's Debbie out here in the hallway, bright and early and smiling and sweet. You guys know Debbie, right? And she's embracing this whole change, and she knows she's the first one doing this. So I'm sure she was thinking, and Tammy, if they weren't thinking it, they might be thinking it now. They might have gotten some people like, oh, you know, hopefully that wasn't the case. But that's typically when you try something new, there's going to be people that are like, well, that's not how we always did. You know, it's just the way it happens sometimes. And when you're the first person to do that and to be the first person out there to say, here's what we're doing today, there's a chance. So here's Debbie out there just, you know, ready to take on the day, smiling and sweet. And I barely got out good morning to her. And I noticed the communion trays were uncovered at 9 o'clock. And I said, we should cover those up until about 9:45. Just keep them a little more fresh, you know, whatever. And I didn't, you know, how about, hey, Deb, it's wonderful to see you here a whole hour early, smiling and bright. So thank you so much for being willing to embrace this new thing. So how about that? You know? And what I said wasn't wrong. It was a good idea to cover up the communion trays, you know? Thing, particles float around in the air. And, you know, let's just keep them a little more fresh for just a little while longer, you know? And all the other weeks, they sat in the pews. And I thought, well, you know what? They did that. They sat in the pews open. But we have covers, so if we have covers, why don't we use them? And, you know, so it's not bad. It wasn't wrong, and I didn't even say it mean. I didn't come out and say, what in the world are you thinking? It was just, hey, can we cover? It was said politely, nicely, but it's still, what was the most loving thing I could have done was greeting her, welcoming her, thanking her for what she's doing, you know? And then maybe I could bridge into, hey, you know what? I just thought, you know, I didn't say anything to you about this yesterday, but do you think we should cover these up? You know, maybe keep them a little fresh for until about 9:45 or so. That would have been the loving way to go about doing it, right? Terry's making a face. Terry's, what? 9:50, okay. So he's with me. So... So, and poor Terry's been, I mean, yeah, I haven't been mentioning names, but Terry's one of the people that has just been busting his tail, and you guys probably know it because it's got West Side on the side of the equipment out there. He's been busting his tail. It looks great back there, by the way, if you haven't looked at it back there. But I remember the first week, he did a whole lot of work, and that day, that Sunday, after all that work, no one said a thing to him except one person said, what's that big hole doing out there? True story. True story. And I guarantee you, most of us that saw it thought, because I remember seeing it that Sunday, and I forgot I was going to say something to him. And it slipped my mind. I forgot. And then Sunday passed. And then, you know, it was Tuesday. And I texted him. I was like, we were talking the elders meeting. And we were talking. I was like, oh, I meant to say something to Terry about that. It looks awesome. So... There were probably a lot of us that thought, man, this is really looking sharp. I can't wait to see what the front looks like. But, you know, I mean, to say a little something, that's walking in the ways of love. It doesn't always have to be the big mean stuff. And oh my goodness, we've all been a part of those things before. We've had that. We've been part of it. We've shared it. We've had it shared to us. But even the little things, to be able to curve those things and to be able to say, you know what? How can I walk in the ways of love better and better and better? Sherry, she was a victim also. That clock downstairs on the wall, you know the on by where the coffee bar used to be, and then, okay, so she put that up, and I remember walking by there and thinking, man, that's really cool. I like how this clock just kind of is parts on the wall, and you still see the wall behind or whatever. And then I walked through, you know, because I'm here, and I walked through again, and I was like, those numbers are not equal distant from each other. So then when I saw Sherry, I didn't say, cool idea. This looks great. Thank you for taking time out of your very, 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 very busy schedule. No, what was the first thing I said? Hey, your numbers, they're not, you need to remeasure these. They're off. Is there something, did you plan on fixing this? I'm not a mean person. And what's funny is like, I am a natural encourager. You guys, many of you have probably benefited from my encouragement because that's just naturally what I do. I encourage people, but golly, those times when my guard, and what's unfortunate about that is I'm really close with Debbie. I'm close with the Scotts and I'm close with the Borntreggers. And I let my guard down with them quite often. I can just be myself around them and I don't have to worry. But when you get close to someone, you let your guard down with them. You also let your filter off with them, don't you? And so we need to be careful about that. Because it's innocent. I wasn't being mean to Sherry. I love her to death. I think the clock is a cool idea. But, What? She left. But you know, it's just, we just need to be careful, right? I mean, I'm sharing little stories about myself. And they're not, I mean, I could share some very incriminating stories and you guys would think a lot less of me than you already do sometimes. But, you know, we should walk in the ways of love. It's simple. It's a foundational element, but we need to hear that every once in a while, don't we? All of us, just be careful. Walk in love. Love each other the way Christ loved us. How did he love us? He laid his life down for us. He sacrificed himself for us, humbly sacrificed himself to lift us up, to give us life. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's in chapter 5. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, Paul writes to the Ephesian church, and he writes a prayer, his prayer that he has for his Christian brothers and sisters in Ephesus. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, you know, because our relationship with God, it was. That scripture was in there somewhere. That should be the next slide, is it not? Yep, Ephesians 3:16. Is he looking? There we go. Awesome. So I pray that I have his glorious riches and power and maestro in your hearts. Next. I already read that. So I'm right here. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, that's where our relationship with God started, correct? In love. Rooted and established in love. Birthed, implemented, and accomplished out of love. Our position in the kingdom, our peace with God, our place in the body was all established and is rooted in love. It was all made possible by love. The very foundation of our entrance into God's family was fulfilled by love. Our roots are in love. We are rooted and established in love. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. So our foundation was established in love. Our beginning as a child of God was rooted in love, but it should not have stopped there at all, church. We should strive to know more and more about God's love. That was Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. Ironically, we read in the book of Revelation that Jesus' complaint about the church in Ephesus is that they lost their first love. And here, Paul's saying, this is what I pray, that you grow and you deepen. And, you know, because if you're not, we don't ever really plateau. Okay, we're as a living organism, you're living or you're dying. You're growing or you're falling off. You're increasing or you're decreasing. So if we're not gaining and learning more about God's love and digging into God's love more, you're losing information that you thought you had. You're losing things that, if we don't keep reminding ourselves of those things, if we're not in God's word, if we're not studying about love to be an imitator of his love, we strive more to know about God's love, to understand it better, and God's motivation behind why he loves. If we're going to be imitators of God and walk in the way of love, then we must become students of his love. So write this down. We have experienced God's love. To imitate God's love, we seek to understand his love more and more. Paul had a very similar prayer for the Philippian church. In his letter to them, he said, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. You know, I often second guess the choice to preach on God's love. And what? Why would you second guess that? It's not because I find that God's love isn't important. It's because I'm like, you guys have heard it all already. Like, how many times have I preached on God's love in 16 years? And how many times did, you know, the guy before me and the guy before him and the guy before that guy and the guy before that guy, you know? There's not some new scripture I'm going to bring that you've never heard about on love. You're going to go, oh, I didn't know about that scripture. Most of the time, subjects like this, you're going to be like, either I forgot about that scripture or, oh, I love that scripture. I just came across that scripture the other day. I hope that's where you're coming from. I enter into sermons like this, and as I'm researching and writing and putting it together, I'm thinking, there's not going to be an aha moment. There's not going to be some profound, you know, ooh, you know, moment of enlightenment on love. There's no new angle. Now, it's a tough subject to bring something fresh to, because you don't want to take away from what it is, and what it is just what it is. Each time we revisit this subject, we should grow more. We should benefit from Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church and take that as a prayer for us as well. That every time we have a chance to experience and learn more about God's love, that we do so that we can better understand his love. That our love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that we would grow in our grasp of how wide and how high and how deep the love of Christ is. And that we would not just study it to become a student of God's love, but that we would study it because we seek to be imitators of God. That we seek to be walking in the way of love, and not just having a bunch of knowledge of his love. That we desire in our innermost being to walk that way, because we're God's children. Let's write this down. Love communicates value through a conscious attitude and caring actions. Love communicates value. The scripture reference is in your bulletin. I'm not going to be reading this one, but in the very beginning of the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about how God chose us before the creation of the world. Before the creation of time, God had made his decision to send Jesus for us. God chose us. You know, I think Mike handled the subject well at communion. That, yeah, when we come before the throne, we realize we're not worthy. But God thought you were worthy, didn't he? He gave his only son for you. Right, the whole John 3:16, Sermon on Love. That scripture's got to come in there somewhere. That God chose us. That gives us value, doesn't it? That gives you worth. We talked about that a few weeks ago, about how worship means you're giving worth. You're giving God a state of being worth. God doesn't worship us, but he did give us a state of being worthy. He gave us worth. He gave us value, and that's what his love does. Love gives value. That's what love does. Love gives value. God's grace has been lavished on us in his love, another subject that Paul brings up in the first chapter of Ephesians. Paul also talks about how it was in accordance with God's pleasure and will to save us, to adopt us as his children, and to do so through the sacrifice of his son, all found in Ephesians chapter 1. And this communicates to all of us that we have value in God's eyes. You're valuable to God. God didn't leave us alone to accomplish the mission of the gospel. He gave us his Holy Spirit to empower us, also in Ephesians chapter 1. Gave us his Holy Spirit, that we were worth his only son. You know, I mentioned John 3:16. God so loved, 144,000 people. Sorry, a little dig there. God so loved just one group. No, what is it? God so loved what? The world. Everyone has value. Everyone has value. No matter what their choices are, current or past, they have value. They have value. Love communicates that value. We have a lot of things in our world that devalue us, don't we? A lot of things that can bring us down, that can weigh on us, that can make us feel just this little. This should be the opposite of that, shouldn't it? This place, this group, when we come together, we should feel this big because love communicates value, and we should be loving each other and finding ways to love each other and learning more and more and more about God's love and how deep and high and wide and everywhere else Christ's love goes, so that when we learn about that, we can walk in the ways of love and we can be imitators of God, and we should be the number one benefactors of each other from that, because we're the family of God. We love those outside the family for sure. It's a different type of love. It's an outreach love. It's a love that wants to, and we'll talk about that later in the sermon. But the love that we have here, it's a strengthening love. It's a love to bind. It's a love to build up. It's a love to strengthen and encourage. It's a love that does say the hard things, and that they're truthful, but they're said in love. Also in Ephesians. I didn't mean to bring the whole book of Ephesians into this sermon. We love each other. We love new faces, new souls. That will be so very important as we see people entering in through here. As people enter into our lives by entering through those glass doors out there, that they would see that we love them, that we love each other. And we love through a conscious attitude, and we love through caring actions. It starts here and here, and it moves to here. It moves to actions. It starts with a conscious attitude, and it moves to caring actions. Let's write this down. Old Gary Smalley, a dinosaur now, but man, oh man, a guru on love. He wrote a book that was famous called Love is a Decision. And there's a lot of truth to that statement. Love is a decision, not a response or a reaction. God did not love us in a response to us. It wasn't a reaction to us. You didn't do something to cause God to love you and send his son for you. No, it was a decision to love you, to love every one of us. It was his decision. God loved first. So if we're going to follow in his ways of love, then our love is a decision. It's not a response. It's not a reaction. It's not given because someone has deserved it. It's not given because someone has gained, you know, some merit. We give love because we've chosen to give love. We give love because we choose to give love. Let's write this down. We're asked to love everyone. Everyone. From our siblings in Christ all the way over to our enemies. And this is possible because love is a decision, because it is a conscious attitude and caring actions. That's how you can love everyone, because it's in here. It's not in them. It's in your decision to do so. And as we get an attitude of love and we have actions of love, that love communicates value. And when we love and we communicate value, we're imitating God. And the cool thing about that is that when we imitate God, yes, others benefit. You know, you benefit a lot from that as well. When you imitate God, man, it just, you just feel so good, because you're like, I'm doing this right. I'm living the way life was meant to be lived when I'm living like God. And there's a good feeling there. That's a feel that gets rid of regrets. That gets rid of, you know, feeling bad or feeling down on yourself or whatever. When you're walking in step with the Spirit and you're walking in the ways of love and you're loving other people, it feels good. Because there's more God in you. Because you're letting Him be more of you. And you're being less of you. And when He's more of you, you're more of you. If you followed me, you know that's absolutely true. I added something else there. I'm going to skip that. Let's go on down to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7, John chapter 4, verse... Actually, 1 John, there's a ton about love in this letter. But just these verses here, my goodness, love, 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 love. I didn't count how many times love shows up, but it's double digits. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not... And somebody's counting the words. Don't count... Just listen. I was thinking someone's out there counting how many times the word, Isaiah's just throwing up three fingers there. But really, listen to what John is saying to all of us through this. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Let's write this down. Love willingly invests in others to bring life. Love willingly invests in others to bring life. If you know God, you know love. If we know God, who is love, we ought to love, and we ought to love one another. We invest in each other. Jesus made it very clear in John chapter 10. He talked about how He's the good shepherd, and He knows His sheep, and His sheep know Him. And then He talks about how He lays His life down for His sheep, and He makes it very clear in verse 18, and this is not on the screen, don't go looking in the PowerPoint for it. He says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Jesus laid His life down, but He made it perfectly clear that He did so willingly. He willingly invested into us for what outcome? To bring us life. That's what love does. Love brings value. Love willingly invests to bring life. Willingly invests to bring life. I love our mission statement. Can someone say our mission statement without looking at the bulletin? Yes, growing in God, investing in people. Growing in God, investing in people. So we follow Paul's prayer, grow in your knowledge and your depth of insight of God's love and how great it is and how wide it is and how deep it is. And we grow in God and then we invest in people. We willingly invest. We willingly put into others to lift them up and bring them life. Just following in Jesus' example. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Follow, be imitators of God. Follow in the way of love. And the way of love is that Christ laid his life down as a sacrifice to bring life, to give us life. We're just following in his example. We don't lay our lives down on the cross, but we lay our lives down in so many different ways. And you do that by willingly investing in others, willingly giving yourself to others. Our three core values, we have five core values. The top two deal with our relationship with God. The last three deal with our relationship with others. Let me remind you of what those are. Growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. That's investing in people to grow God's kingdom. I'm telling you, I'm in the crow's nest. You guys know what a crow's nest is, right? The pirate ship, you know, way up there. Looking out on the horizon, and with all the mess that's going on, people are going to be looking for a church that has love, that communicates truth, that gives them clarity, that they can trust. And we need to be ready for that wave. Because I think we're a church that can benefit a lot of different people because we already have those things. Growing God's kingdom, increasing and developing devoted disciples of Jesus. Our fourth core value, actively investing, taking personal responsibility, and I love the wording of this, doing whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. Church, that needs to be our heartbeat together in unison to do whatever it takes to move the gospel forward. That's what Christ expects of his church. And our fifth core value, connecting with people, building real relationships with others through compassion, service, and support. And we do that to build a bridge, to grow and to be able to invest into other people, to give life to them. In John chapter 15, John quotes Jesus talking about how he's the vine and we're the branches. And we all connect up to him. And if a branch bears fruit, then, you know, he's going to prune it. He's going to help it to be healthy. If it doesn't bear fruit, it gets cut off. It's pretty abrupt. It's rough. But, you know, your life-bringing branch, you just a dead branch, dead weight. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And here's how all this works. You remain in me, I remain in you. See where I pick up on this. Verse 9. John chapter 15, as the Father has loved you, as the Father has loved me, so now I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. So it talks about this connection that I'm connected to you and you're connected to me and you need to remain in this connection. But the goal of that is that we're reaching out and bringing others and connecting others in. Yes? And that's what love does. We remain in his love and his love remains in us and we obey his commandments and his command is to go into the world and baptize those, to teach them all the things that Jesus taught us. So let's write this down. Love works to connect and to keep others connected to Christ. Love works to connect and to keep others connected to Christ. As we remain in Jesus' love and his love remains in us, and then we reach out to others, and the idea, the goal is to connect them then to the vine and their branches. And their branches. Imitate God by walking in the way of love. We've experienced God's love. Our entrance into the kingdom was rooted and established in love. And so to imitate God's love, we seek to understand his love more and more. We understand that love communicates value, that love is a decision. Love is a conscious attitude and it's caring actions. And that we love everyone, from our siblings in Christ to our enemies. That we willingly invest in the goal of love is to bring life. And we bring life by connecting people to Christ and keeping them connected to Christ. Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for being so clear on so many different places in your word, on so many different levels in your word, with example after example after example of what you want from us as your church, as your children, to love each other, to love those that we just have an acquaintance with, to love those that we have a bad relationship with, to love our enemies even. Father, help us. Help us to love and to walk in the ways of love more and more. That we would listen to Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church and that we would look at the example and see what Jesus' complaint about them in Revelation was, that they had lost their first love. And somewhere along the way, they didn't continue to grow deeper and gain more knowledge and put that knowledge into practice. Help us to not follow their example, that we would listen to Paul's prayer and we would heed the wisdom in that, that we would grow in our knowledge and depth of insight of your love, that you would empower us to be able to bring value to others, which is such a powerful thing to give to somebody. It's life-changing. Father, just ask that you would forgive us as we repent for some of the things that we haven't done, some of the things that we have done that weren't loving, ways that we could be more loving. Lead us and guide us. Help us to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.